Would you please take a seat? Now let's pray. Father, thank you for those two scriptures, those two passages that remind us of the transfiguration of Jesus. Please will you open our eyes to see him as Peter, James and John did. Amen. That would help if we had a second reading.
Right.
Well, that's better than leaving stuff out, I suppose. Well, that would have left
we've
out.
We've had the prayer in advance.
We have, right. There you go. Thank you, Chrissy. Right, back on track. That would have been a wonderful thing to be there on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured. Perhaps you can imagine yourself being part of it with your eyes shut and seeing Jesus, Moses and Elijah, and hearing the voice of God. That would have been a fantastic thing. I'd love to have seen that. Where this took place is thought to be Mount Tabor in northern Israel. Has anyone been to Israel? Right. Sue and I did for our 40th wedding anniversary in 2020, just before the pandemic hit. And we went to Mount Tabor. It's a sort of strange place, really, because you've got a large plain where you can see some bumpy bits in distance, but you've got this vast plain, and then there's this big bump, 1,500 foot high in the middle of this plain, Mount Tabor, and there's a fantastic view from it. If on a clear day, you can see something like 50 miles, I think it takes you to the coast and beyond. 1,500 foot is not a huge distance, a huge height to go up, but if you go there, you get on a minibus. So you cheat. You can walk down, which we did. We drive up hills and mountains like Snowdon and Mount Tabor, but we do walk down. So, but when Jesus and Peter and James and John went up there, there were no minibuses, no road, and there would have been a bit of a slog to get up there. So you can understand Peter, James and John being tired when they got there and wanting a kip. But this is an amazing place for this event to take place. And God did, maybe still does, but definitely did do amazing things with people on mountains. He gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai, I remember. Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, which is by the coast. And Jesus gave us a new way to live, the new law in the Sermon on the Mount. But what's going on here on this Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured? You may or may not remember that about a week beforehand, Jesus had taken his disciples out of their geographical comfort zone, shall we say. They'd gone through Galilee, his home area, their home area, most of them at least, and they actually went out of Galilee into the Gentile area, up to a place called Caesarea Philippi. And there you've got, even today, you've got a big cliff with lots of little shrines, and there was also a temple of the god Pan there. And so they could see all these things, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And they replied with things like Elijah and John the Baptist come back, that sort of thing. Then he asked them, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter gets the words right. He says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God," words to that effect. And Jesus says, "Well done, that's been revealed to you by my Father." And then Peter sort of messes it up. The reason being, because at this point, where they've started to realise who Jesus is, i.e. the Messiah, the Christ, God's anointed one, Jesus starts to tell them that he's going to have to go to Jerusalem and be killed, and that he would be raised on the third day. But this was not in their plan. When he says this to Peter, Peter basically says, "No way, not going to happen," thinking this is not what happens when you're the Messiah and when you follow the Messiah. That should not be what, you should not have to go through this sort of stuff if you're following Jesus. And how did Jesus respond? With one of the most famous sentences in the New Testament. He says to Peter, specifically to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." I think how poor old Peter must have felt hearing that. What was it, a year ago or so, when President Zelensky was with President Trump, and Trump basically totally embarrassed the man, tore him off a strip. Think how it must have been for him, the brave leader. Peter too was torn off a strip here, but not by a man with a huge ego like President Trump has, but by the man that Peter had dead.
President Trump in this church.
By President, beep! I'll bleep it out. I'm recording this, so I'll bleep it out on the website. Peter was told, get behind me, Satan, by the man that he'd dedicated his life to. He'd given up his home, only saw his wife on occasion at this point. How he must have felt. Peter saw Jesus as the Messiah in the way that the other Jewish people saw him. That's not a particularly Old Testament view, a sort of military Messiah, but there were writings that people were really into around that time. There's a thing called the Psalms of Solomon, not written by Solomon because that was written about the time of Jesus. But in that, the Messiah is seen as someone really military who'd kicked the Romans out. You know, this is the story we probably all know. But here Peter is told that his understanding of who the Messiah is totally at odds with what God wanted. And Peter must have been heartbroken, I think, to hear this from Jesus. He must have been utterly deflated. And this wouldn't be the last time either, because there would be incredibly dark days ahead for Peter. Jesus would be betrayed and crucified and die. And Peter would deny Jesus three times, saying he didn't even know the man. Jesus would restore Peter afterwards. And there's a lovely passage right at the end of John's Gospel where we see how that happened. But Peter again, this wonderful Peter, this man on whom Jesus said he would build his church, or Peter and other stuff, Peter would mess things up again as one of the heads of the Christian church. If you were to read Galatians 2, which you may not be doing today, but if you were to read Galatians 2, you've got Paul tearing Peter off a strip because Peter had... He started getting the Gentile Christians to act as Jewish Christians were, trying to fulfill the law, circumcision and so on. And Paul tells him to his face that he's a hypocrite. This is Peter. This is happening to. Earlier on, another difficult time of Peter and the disciples was, this was shortly after the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus starts saying things about himself being the bread of life. And that's quite hard teaching. And lots of the disciples, people who had been following him, left. And Jesus says to the disciples, are you going as well? And Peter says, probably not with a huge amount of enthusiasm. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Though things were difficult, and perhaps they couldn't understand Jesus too well at that point, they kept with him when things were tough, when times were difficult, when times were demoralising. And Peter was used by God to a huge extent, because Peter came to know who Jesus truly was. And on our passage today, the second passage, which we eventually had, Peter, James and John, the inner circle if you like, they see Jesus for who he truly is. They saw Jesus not as just someone who had good ideas about how life should be led, not even just as someone who had fantastic teaching, hard teaching like love your enemies and pray for them, not easy. Here on the Mount of Transfiguration, probably Mount Tabor, they saw this transfiguration, this complete change in Jesus' appearance. They saw Jesus and heard who he really was and is. And we need to see that. They saw Jesus in his glory and heard the voice of Jesus' Father telling Peter, James and John that Jesus was God the Father's Son and that we should listen to him, see him for who he is. Not just some prophet, as Islam claims, not just as some great moral teacher, but as God's Son. Remember, Peter, James and John and the rest of the disciples had already seen Jesus healing people, casting demons out of people, setting them free, raising some from the dead, like Lazarus. And soon they will, well, soon they will see a bit later. And soon they will see Jesus' death and on the cross and resurrection. But here they and we, if we take this passage in, we see the reality of what goes on in this life. Jesus' teaching, preaching and healing show his character, his love and his call on our lives and his power over death. But here Peter, James and John and us, if we pay attention to it, we see Jesus' glory, his splendour, his wonder. And I find it, you might be different, but I find it a good reminder that being a Christian is not just about serving God, though it definitely is that, and doing good things and serving other people. Sometimes Christian life is gritting your teeth and carrying on, getting on with stuff. Christian life is not just a discipline, a code to live by, but we live when we see Jesus for who he truly is. We live for our God, a God who's revealed himself as a man in a way we can see and understand, but who is also truly God. We need, at least I need to remember this in my life as a Christian, when things don't always go to plan. Sometimes things, you can do things and not see much result. But this, seeing Jesus for who he truly is, is something that keeps many of our brothers and sisters in Christ going. For example, that 50,000 odd Christians in death camps in North Korea, those who live in places, the few Christians who live in Afghanistan, the Christians who struggle in Iran, Iraq and so on. Knowing who Jesus is something that keeps them going. And they know that the best is yet to come after this life. This life can be good, sometimes can be bad. But the life of God's people will be fantastic when we go to be with Jesus. I'm sure that everyone here is glad that Kirsty's coming in 3 weeks or so. And the vacancy seems to have gone fairly well, I'd say, generally. But at ASM, All Saints Matchell, we've lost about a quarter of our congregation. And when you get onto things like money, that means you've got to, everyone on average has got to pay a third more just to stand still. And life can be a drag, can be frustrating. So it's really good to have a glimpse behind the scenes of life, to have the curtain pulled back, to see the reality of Jesus' glory and anticipate being with him one day, whatever happens here in this benefice. Seeing Jesus for who he is critical for us as Christians. And he can be, and he will be, our anchor when things get tough. And he can be, and should be, our motivation for serving God. That certainly was the case with Peter. Now, I'm not sure whether it's this letter or 1 Peter. I think it's this one. But in this letter, he speaks about his impending death, and he was in prison. And it wasn't like a 21st century British prison. Prisons in those days were stinking places, dark. Anyone been to the dungeons at Norwich Castle? Been down there when they turned the lights off? Not nice. These were the sort of places that Peter and Paul several times, were in. Here Peter speaks of being an eyewitness of Jesus' majesty, and he wrote of hearing God speaking of Jesus as his son. Peter was kept going by seeing what happened that day on the mountain, amongst other things. But he says, we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. So remembering exactly who Jesus is kept Peter going as he approached his own death. We as Christians, we as followers of Jesus, need to be willing to do whatever God wants, but also to receive whatever God wants to give us, and for us to give whatever God wants us to give. And that's things like this passage from Matthew that help us to not forget Jesus' glory in the humdrum of ordinary life. Maybe our decline in health, losing loved ones. But we should remember what the author of the letter to the Hebrews said, that we need to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, important. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. As that old hymn says, we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray. Father, as we, all of us here, get older, and things become more difficult, and some of us have had really difficult times in the past already, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, to see that this life is not all that there is, and that you have something wonderful in store for us one day. Amen.